Greetings and welcome to the 12th podcast in the Energy Links podcast series. I'm your host, Paul Rippey, and I'm here via Skype with Nick Soden. Nick is the U.S. Director of Business Development at Tough Stuff. Tough Stuff is a social enterprise based in Madagascar and London with the goal of bringing appropriate and inexpensive solar power to developing countries. They make affordable solar-powered products for low-income people designed to replace kerosene lamps and batteries. Following its launch in Madagascar earlier this year, Tough Stuff is looking to roll out its work in other countries where poor people do not have access to electricity. Tough Stuff says that the impact of their products includes a remarkable reduction in poverty, as well as enhanced health and increased microenterprise employment, and, of course, reduced CO2 emissions. Nick Soden, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. I'm very excited to be here.
Great. Nick, a good place to begin would be for you to tell us how Tough Stuff got started.
Sure, that sounds great. I'd be happy to. Well, Tough Stuff has two founders. One is based in London. The other is in Madagascar. Adrian Mole, who's based in Madagascar, has been running a social enterprise there for a year, an award-winning organization. And one of the things that he noticed is that the people in Madagascar are spending an unbelievable amount of money on power, and the solutions that they have have all these terrible health effects and all kinds of environmentally damaging resources. So he's been working with the people there, with his employees, with hundreds of prototypes in the field with the people in Madagascar on designing very inexpensive solar-powered products. We finally were incorporated in 2008. We raised some funding from a patient investor, a philanthropic investor, and we've been off and running since then.
So how did you personally get involved with Tough Stuff?
Well, I've been an early stage sort of guy for a long time here. I very much enjoy startup companies. I've been studying microfinance and now social business for maybe only a year or two, and really have just become obsessed with the power and the potential for these types of organizations. I searched for a long time, actually, to find an early stage social enterprise that had a chance to make a real impact on a global scale. I was lucky enough to join Tough Stuff, I think almost a year ago now, as one of their very, very early employees after those two founders, and have really just enjoyed the ride ever since.
So you found them, they didn't find you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
I actually found Adrian's previous company on some weird website with a link, and I ended up finding his cell phone number in Madagascar. And I called him, and he said, "Wait, who are you? Why are you calling me?" And I said, no, that's not important, but let me tell you why you need to hire me." And for some crazy reason, they listened, and it ended up working out well.
Let's talk a little bit about the product. Some of your competitors, other people making solar lamps, are making gooseneck table lamps with batteries and a base, a gooseneck, and then an LED array. You have a somewhat different design, but could you describe for the listeners what the Tough Stuff LED lamp looks like?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. I'll talk about ours and then some of the other things that we've seen also. We have a 1-watt, 5.6-volt solar panel. It's a thin film solar panel, so it's flexible, it's lightweight, it's almost impossible to break. There's no big, bulky frame around it. It's a really simple, durable solar panel, and that powers our other products. The main product is a lighting, an LED lamp. You charge that lamp up. It's got four super bright LED bulbs. It runs on a very low setting, which is just ambient light. See around a room, see around outside. It'll run on that setting for about 30 hours. And on the highest setting, which is enough to light up a room and enough to read by, it'll run for about 5 hours. And we also use –
I was just going to say, I've seen on your website you're talking about how tough the solar panel is. You practically stick it in a blender and it keeps working.
We haven't quite done the blender yet, but we've run it over with the semi truck. We've run it over at 30 miles an hour. Last week, we dropped our lamp off a 6-story building, and it survived, which I wasn't sure it was going to, but it made it. So that was pretty fun.
Right.
We also have a couple other products that I wanted to quickly talk about. We have dummy radio connectors, which you put in to run small appliances like radios, fans, flashlights, that type of thing. And we also charge all kinds of mobile phones, mostly very cheap African mobile phones. And the solar panel works independently with those three products.
Exactly. And I've heard elsewhere that if you have a monocolor screen on a phone, you probably can charge it with a 1 watt panel. If you get into color screens or any smartphone, you need to get any more than 1 watt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've had trouble with iPhones and, Blackberries and that type of thing. But
probably got a lot of iPhones out in the villages, though. So how did you design your products? How did you go about designing them?
Our entire R&D and team, product development team, is based in Madagascar, in fact. We've done just over and over again. Every single product we design has been done based on the feedback from having our products tested with people in Madagascar. We will send lots of different prototypes out to villages. We'll have people use it for a couple weeks. And we ask, would you like this feature or this feature? And we try to assign a price to it and say, would you be willing to pay this much more for it? For example, people would think it's cooler if our solar panels had a black backing instead of sort of a beige yellow backing. But for the extra cost that it had to buy those products, people say, no way, we'd prefer the panels like they are now. So we do all our work not from the West and then try to make products cheaper, but in Madagascar with the people who are at the very, very bottom of the pyramid, the poorest people in the world, asking them, would they pay for these extra features? And what's sort of developed from that is a very inexpensive and very simple set of products, but that are very durable and will last for a long time because people were willing to pay extra for products they could trust.
Now, that leads right into the question of how much your LED lamp costs and what the lifespan is, either for the lamp or for the various components.
The retail prices of our products vary sort of all over, but all of them will end up retailing for less than $12 US. So with the research done by Lighting Africa and the research we've done in Madagascar, that shows about an 8-week payback and really a pretty small upfront investment even for the world's poorest people.
Now, are you selling the lamps and the panel as a unit, or is it $12 for the lamp and $12 for the panel?
We sell all the products independently. Both of them are cheaper than that. I think they're in that range. They're in that range, Paul.
Right. So we're talking $20-ish to light up your home.
Yeah, a little bit less, in fact. That's correct. Yeah.
I liked what you were saying, because we've been saying the exact same thing in other contexts about how much people save. I mean, if you can look at the benefits of solar lighting in so many different ways, and you guys do this. You can talk about the health benefits. You can talk about how kids can read for school. You can talk about carbon. But the one thing that people want to talk about is just money. And the payback period is very, very short. And you had some pretty impressive figures. I like that.
Yeah, we've tried to get research from 4 or 5 different countries now. And it's astounding how much people in the world's poorest people are paying for power. Whereas even in the West and other areas, people are actually paying much, much less proportionally. So we're thrilled to make products that are very inexpensive and save people money, but also provide these other social and environmental benefits.
Now, could you talk about your results to date in Madagascar and elsewhere?
Yeah, we have now sold thousands of products into Madagascar.
How many thousands?
Yeah, well, I'll pass that one for now. Thank you for grilling me. I appreciate it, though I'm not at liberty to give exact figures.
Okay, sure. Okay, good.
The reason why is that in Madagascar, we've had a stronghold. We launched earlier this year. We've got fantastic distribution networks. We've gotten great response from our products. We're taking some of the model we've built there, and we're now replicating it in East Africa and several countries. We're getting ready to launch there later this year. We're launching soon with partners in Western Africa and in South Africa, and even projects in India and Pakistan and in a few Latin American countries. So we need to keep a little bit close some of the success that we've had, although we're trying to get really sophisticated in how we measure our results so that we'll soon start sharing that with the world, and that selling products really is a way to help people rather than giving them away.
Listen, that's great, and we do need to take a short break right now, so when we come back, let's talk about your business model as much as you're willing to share with the listeners. We'll be back with Nick Soden in just a minute.
The new Odessa chief of police said at his sister's wedding, I will bring young Venya down. By coincidence, during the feast, somebody burned the new Odessa police station to the ground. He was the king, the king, the king. king of the gangsters. He was the king, the king, the king. He was the king of the gangsters. Let's go now.
Welcome back. This is Paul Rippey, and I'm here via Skype with Nick Soden of Tough Stuff. Nick, could you tell us more about your business model in Madagascar and elsewhere?
Tough Stuff distributes our products in three main ways. The first is through commercial distributors. We sell our products to very, very large organizations that have thousands of distribution outlets throughout a country. We work with the largest organizations in these areas, and we partner closely with them to make sure that the whole supply chain works well. This has been really one of the keys to our success. These partnerships allow us to stick to what we do best, allow the distributors to move products through ports quickly, to have an effective supply chain, to have products move through as inexpensively as possible. And then we work in lots of other ways to distribute products with organizations that do that best. So the main way we distribute, again, is through commercial distributors. We also work very heavily with NGOs, development groups, microfinance groups, and oftentimes in what we've named the Business in a Box program. We pick local entrepreneurs, very low-income entrepreneurial people, and we equip them with a set of our products, a bright backpack filled with solar panels and lamps and all kinds of products for charging cell phones and things. And we train these entrepreneurs on how to make a business by reselling these products to families in rural areas who really are looking for these types of solutions. We've got now entrepreneurs throughout Madagascar through different partnerships that are making as much as $3, $4 a day, which with the people we're working with is roughly a 300% increase from the income they were making before. And these entrepreneurs are making a living with short payback times and really seeing a lot of success.
So, Nick, where does microfinance come into the picture?
We're partnering with the two largest microfinance groups in Madagascar. These groups are very good at making loans, collecting on those payments, and working with entrepreneurs. We come into the mix by providing our products, doing training sessions on how the entrepreneurs can make the most money. And so the microfinance groups will use their networks already with the entrepreneurs that they know, send them our direction, and we provide products and do some training. And then we work together to make sure the entrepreneurs are successful and the program runs in a sustainable fashion.
So you're using microfinance to fund the distribution network, the entrepreneurs. Are you doing any end user finance, or is the price so low that people don't need a loan?
Yeah, you're right. The price is so low that the microfinance groups haven't been interested in financing the purchase of the products. In fact, they're so cheap that they don't feel that works out well. But they are providing loans to these entrepreneurs, usually 16 or 20-week loans, where the entrepreneurs sell several of these kits, make a living during that loan period, and the businesses are actually continuing after that, which is very exciting. And we're partnering with microfinance groups now in Kenya, in Malawi, and several other East African countries, with a few pilots going in Latin America also. So it seems as though we've stumbled along a formula that can allow entrepreneurs to quickly start making money, to be helping end consumers, and for the program to make money in each stage of the profit. The individual consumers are saving money, the entrepreneurs are making money and providing for their families, and the microfinance groups and Tough Stuff are running these programs in a sustainable way. So we're hoping to replicate that with new partners in other areas.
That's great. And the loan's probably $200 or $300 for the entrepreneurs?
Exactly right. Right in that range.
Right. And do you encourage the entrepreneurs to sell other things? I mean, they could augment their business if they had Bic pens or mosquito nets or stuff like that.
Yeah. Gosh, we haven't yet, but we're really excited about doing that more. There's groups in other areas who have been, you know, very interested in bringing our products because they're lightweight, they fit into packs easily, they're very inexpensive. And we're hoping soon to start incorporating water sanitation and maybe some cook stoves and maybe some other products into this network of entrepreneurs. I really think this is an idea for our industry where groups can start working together to provide more products to reach the last mile and get to the people in very rural and very low-income areas.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I wouldn't be surprised if after all these development projects and government projects, the people that really reach down into the villages are going to be the social entrepreneurs. Now, by the way, do you consider yourself a charity or a business?
We are a business, a social business.
Good.
And thank you for asking. In fact, this is one of the things I'll get on a soapbox about. We have been more and more excited as time goes along that we've chosen to be a social enterprise rather than a nonprofit. As all the research comes out, lots of people are starting to realize that you can be more effective by selling products rather than charity. We think that people are more excited about our products. People are able to use them in better ways when they pay for them. And mostly, as everyone is aware, we're going to be able to run indefinitely into the future because we're not going to be required to raise funding all the time. In fact, Tough Stuff never would have gotten off the ground if we didn't raise philanthropic investment. If we had to go about getting grant funding and donations, we wouldn't have existed at all. And more so, I'm becoming more and more a believer that what really helps people in these areas is just having more choices. I think it's a little bit difficult for us to say this is what people need and we should give those things to people and this will help them. I'm much, much more excited about the idea of saying here's another choice of products. If we design ones that fit what people need, then they'll buy, we'll have lots of sales, we'll be successful. And if we design products that don't fit the need, we're going to fail and we'll be forced to go back to the drawing board, which I think is a great feedback loop.
That's great. You're not going to find a lot of disagreement on what you're saying, I don't think. But here's a question, though, that you're not expecting. One of the things I keep coming back to is the question of recycling. And there are a number of people, including Tough Stuff, who are trying to get a lot of lamps out there. And that's a wonderful thing. But we want to make sure that we're not creating a problem, especially for using NiCad batteries.
Agreed.
What kind of batteries are you using in your LED lamps?
Great question. We're not using NiCad. We're using the other
nickel metal hydride.
You're right, nickel metal hydride, which has been not only are they better for performance, we have really strict requirements for how well our batteries perform. They need to perform at above 40 degrees Celsius, which is where we test them. And all our products do perform well at that level. So the nickel metal hydride products have worked better. In addition, they're much better for the environment, particularly in Madagascar, an area with lots of biodiversity. The batteries that are being used there are polluting water supply. They're creating really, really dangerous contaminated areas. So we're thrilled to be eliminating millions and millions of these dry cell, really cheap batteries.
My understanding, Nick, is that it would be just not acceptable to do massive distribution of batteries based on either lead or cadmium. But also that nickel metal hydride batteries should be recycled. It's not the same urgency as cadmium or lead. Do you know what happens to the – of course, you're just starting up. But is there any plan for what's going to happen to the detritus that you'll be creating?
Yeah. Gosh, Paul, I actually have to disagree, believe it or not, with your earlier statement. There's some organizations out there that are doing solar products with car batteries or lead acid batteries or other things that are environmentally contaminating. But if you look at the massive impact those groups have by offsetting millions of these cheap batteries that are expensive, they're terrible for the environment. If we look at the offset of CO2 and carbon, I really do think it's okay to use those products. With that said, Tough Stuff does not. As I mentioned earlier, we're using nickel metal hydride, which is much better for the environment. We have not been able to set up a strong network for recycling these products. It's simply not feasible in the areas that we're working. Or I should say, we haven't found a way to do it best yet. Our products last, we think, right about 4 years or so before the batteries will wear down on our lamps and some of our other products. Those batteries, we've designed our products to be snap-off, so it's easy for someone to take those batteries out and put others in without having to be a mechanical engineer, which is, I think, a very positive thing. But to be perfectly honest, we don't have a great system to recycle those batteries, although ultimately we will need to find a solution.
So, Nick, I hear you have an interesting fundraising scheme in the U.S.,
Yeah, that's right. We're doing a campaign that we call Buy One, Fund One, which has been really fun. Our products, the solar panel and the LED light, actually work great for camping. You can charge it up on your way up to the mountains or any type of outdoor pursuits, and the products work great. So we're actually selling the exact same products here in the United States and in Europe and the Western world, and people, we ask them to pay double for it. We sell the products for $30 online, and $15 of that goes to Madagascar to help fund our entrepreneurs. So it's a way of, rather than making a donation, our customers here in the West can buy our products, and in doing so, they're really supporting our work in developing countries. And people can find that on our website, toughstuffonline.org, or at buyonefundone.org.
Very good. That's the one child, one laptop plan.
Exactly. Yep. The similar model, except that we're not giving our solar panels and lamps away. We're funding entrepreneurs because we're all about the social enterprise.
Very good. Nick, if people would like to learn more about Tough Stuff or would like to get in contact with you, what should they do?
Our website, toughstuffonline.org, is the main place. You'll find us there with all kinds of information and photos. And we would love for you to follow us on Facebook and YouTube also. Our little marketing team here has a couple really terrible videos. We're falling into a routine of every Friday afternoon trying to destroy our products in a new way. And so we've got some pretty goofy ones up there of us slamming them against walls and dropping them off buildings and all kinds of fun stuff. So you can just search Tough Stuff, one word, on YouTube as well.
Blender, you got to try it in the blender. Nick,
we've got to do the blender.
Nick Soden, thanks very much for being on the show. Congratulations on your very impressive start, and good luck as you take on the rest of the world. Thanks to Jeff Berner for the music at the break. This is Paul Rippey saying goodbye. Look for another podcast soon, and in the meantime, may all your energy be clean.
The Energy Links podcast is brought to you by the Academy for Educational Development Field Project, www.fieldsupportlowa.org/energylinks, and the Center for Financial Inclusion at Action International, www.action.org/center, with the generous assistance of the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, and the Wallace Global Foundation. Of course, the views expressed are not necessarily those of the sponsors. Your comments and questions are welcome. Please send them to energylinks2009@gmail.com.